Okay, we left off yesterday with a major, major machlekes in the workings. Machlekes in Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri that, in a certain sense, all started with the Girsa, or all started with how to resolve an apparent contradiction in the words of Rabbi Yochanan, and now became a major, major issue in itself. Namely, how do we view the relationship between a Ganav or Gaza acquiring something, and then subsequent potential problems amidst a Babi Aveira? So the Ri had one Yusoy that permeates his entire thinking, is that once the Ganav or the Gazlan acquires something, as long as the acquisition took place pre-mitzvah, so then mitzvah b'aveira is over, the sugya is over. And therefore the Ri said, for that reason, it is inconceivable for Rabbi Yochanan our sugya to really hold that you're kind of a yush. Because if you really truly would have been kind of a yush, so then there wouldn't have been an issue of mitzvah b'aveira. So the Ri commits Rabbi Yochanan to not accepting the principle of Yish Binkarna, which fits in really nicely, because we know that Rabbi Yochanan happens to be the one of the people, what Ryan in Babak Samafes, that holds that if you shecht or you sell after Yush, you're still chayev, which fits in beautifully, really in sync with his view of that Yush is not Karna. That was the whole Ri's approach to the Sugi. But again, the underlying halachic premise, principle of the Ri is, once you're Karna, mitzvah Vera is history. Rabbi Natam disagreed with that. Rabbi Natam said that's not true, that you're Karna, and it's yours, and you still have a problem, mitzvah b'aveira. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam learned the Gemara k'pshuto, hakanya b'yush, means pshuto k'mashmo, even though that doesn't at first seem to fit into Rabbi Yochanan, no problem, Rabbeinu Peretz calls for Rabbeinu Tam, b'vakama, we can get out of that Gemara b'vakama, Rabbi Yochanan holds, even though you are kinda, you still have dalvei. That was the quirk, that was the exception to the rule, but fundamentally, Rabbi Yochanan's shita is that yush is in fact kinda, v'yafa b'chei does mitzvah b'aveira. So we had to really break down the machlokes. The real nekudas machlokes is, does the kinyan automatically prevent any future application of mitzvah b'aveira, or still open game for mitzvah b'aveira machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri? So this machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri was not only a machlokes in terms of the technicalities of how Rabbi Yochanan fits in between Sukkot Aflaman and Bavakam Sabaches, but this machlokes repeats itself in other sugyas as well, and primarily in understanding the position of another great Amora, also from the same time, Rabbi Yochanan, the view of Ula, who's actually a Talmud Rabbi, so it would be interesting to know what Ula had to say about this topic. So, lo and behold, we get almost contradictory messages from different Gemaras about what the view of Ula was about this very topic, about Yush bin Kona, Yush not bin Kona, which is once again going to impact significantly on everything that we're talking about. So we'll put Rabbi Yochanan on the back burner for a little while, come to the world of Ula, understand what Ula did or did not say, and then start to be able to put these pieces of the puzzle back together again. So there are two stairs. Do we have them on the comments? Are they printed? I don't know. The sheet? So we have two statements of Ula. We have actually multiple statements of Ula. See how many statements of Ula we can find. Okay. So Ula, in Bavakama, Adav Kuf Yudal Amir Aleph, has the following comment. But before we understand what Ula's contribution to the Sugya is, we need a couple of steps back to understand what the Gemara was even talking about at Kuf Yudal. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Maseches Kelim that's really a Sugya of Tumah B'Tahara. And somehow that sugya of Tumah B'Tahara is going to have a significant impact on our Nezik and our Baba Kama talk. The Mishnah started with the following premise. And sometimes you have something that it's not clear whether it's really a kli or not. I have a piece of leather skin. Leather skin, say, is not really usable for anything unless you designated it for something to be used. So kol zman that you haven't finished what's called d'mam alocha, you haven't actually designated it to be used for something, it's just a piece of junk, it's a piece of skin. A skin is not makabel tumah. But if and when it was designated for something, if that designation really makes sense, it's logical, then it takes on the status of a kli, and once it's a kli, a kli or a subject to kabbalah's tumah. So there's a significant factor in terms of determining whether something is royal kabbalah's tumah on the machshava, what the plan is. Now, when we speak about the plan is, obviously we're talking about the plan of who? The plan of the bialim. Let's say you have a leather skin, and I decide, well, I like the way that skin is. That's a perfect couch. That piece of leather, that's fit to be a couch right now. But you're not planning on making the couch. You're planning on cutting it up, making it into a pair of shoes. Obviously, the machshava of a stranger is ma'av l'meirit to the status of Iqbal. That's like davar parshat admai. So for this background, that the Gemara in Bava Kama quotes a mishnah tucked away in the 26th parak of Kalim. Now, for us, most people only learn Kalim when somebody tackles them a minute before a shloshma or over and insists that they learn Kalim. But some people actually did learn Kalim. So the Tanoim did learn Kalim, they wrote Kalim, and the Moran learned Kalim. So the Gemara in Bava Kama on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph quotes the mishnah at the end of Maseches Kalim. And those who have the sheets, the Sigma, because Tanhosim. If you have oros that belong to a balabots, it's my personal oros that I'm going to work with these oros. If I decide that I want to use them the way they are, so then my machshava will create the ability for them to be bekabel tum. Vishal avdon. What if these skins are mine, but I'm not really planning on using them? I'm really a worker. I'm planning on selling them. So in machshava metamosim. So then, the fact that I'm thinking I'm going to use it for one thing or another thing, I'm not using it for anything. Whatever the customer's going to knock on my door and ask for, that's what's going to matter. So it doesn't really matter so much what my plans are. So again, this is the background. Now, shel gazlon, ein machshav mitamoson, shel ganav machshav mitamoson. What if somebody steals animal skins, and he decides that he's going to use these animal skins the way they are to be able to sit on them? He doesn't have to touch them, doesn't have to cut them up, doesn't have to work on them at all. So is the machshava sagazlon considered to be a machshava or not? So the Mishnah says no. But if it's a ganav, then the machshava sagazlon is considered to be a machshava. What's the issue? What would we say? Would we say that the machshava sagazlon or the gazlon should count for anything at all? So the answer is obvious. If what transpired was a kinyon in the sense of a hilchus bava kama, hilchus geneva dictates that the ganav or the gazlon are going to keep these skins and just pay back cash like we spoke about yesterday, so then, if these skins belong to them, so then they're subject to machshava of the bailim, the ganav and the gazlan, take on the status of the bailim vis-a-vis hilchus tumah. But if the halacha dictates to us that they're going to have to return these eretz anyway, so then who are they? Then they're like a stranger. So at the end of the day, the shaila hilchus tumah is really just a restating of the shaila hilchus geneva from yesterday. So here the Tanakhama says we can differentiate between a ganav and a gazlan. Now we've never seen that distinction yet. The reason for that distinction is, as the Gemara is about to explain, is that when it comes to a ganav, we could assume that the owner probably was misyayish. Why was the owner probably misyayish on geneva? Very simple. He doesn't know who took them. Geneva means the guy stuck to his house. He knows that somebody broke into his house and stole all his animal skins. He has no idea who it is. So he's very, very likely to be misyayish because he has no idea even who to track down. Masha'ein Kain, a gazlan, a guy met him in the street, bopped him over, knocked him over the head, stole the animal skins away from him. He knows exactly who took it from him. He'll take him to base, then he'll get him back. So therefore, the Tanakhama says that it's unlikely that the person is misyayish by a gazlan. So therefore, we say, stam gazela ain't a yish by him, but stam geneva is yish by him. Rabbi Shimon says the opposite. Chiluf advarim, the exact opposite. Shel gazlan machshav mitamoson. What's the rationale for Rabbi Shimon? Also, very simple, it's the exact opposite. Rabbi Shimon says, when it comes to a gazlan, the person is probably going through misyayish from after he was attacked and mugged. Why? He knows exactly who took him over, and he knows this guy's 6'8". He's 5'3". The guy's 6'8". He knows he's never going to beat this guy, never going to get this guy back again. He's never going to even bother to take him to baby. The guy's going to step on him. But when it comes to a ganav, he thinks, I'm not giving up hope so fast from a ganav. Maybe it'll turn out. The guy was 4'6", the guy who broke into my house. I'm going to go, I'll track him down, I'll find him, and I'll beat the living daylights out of him, and I'll get my skins back. So again, I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying this is your psychological with the person had. So the Halakha Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan are sitting and having a psychological machlokes, trying to get into the depths of the human psyche. At what point and for who will I be misyayish for? So the Rabbanan said it's more likely I'll be misyayish for the ganav because I don't know who he is. Rabbi Shimon says it's more likely to be misyayish for the Gaza because I taka know who he is and he's too big for me to fight back. So that's the machlokes atzmos. So what interests us now is Ula's presentation of the sugya. Omer Ula, machlokes b'stam. This machlokes atanoim was if we don't know the kind, we don't know what the Bailam said. We don't really know what the response was. Aval biyadua. What if we know for a fact that the Bailam is misyayish? And what do we say? Divrei HaKol. What? What do we say, everybody say? Tiviyakol, Yushkani. Says Ula, The machlekes at Tanoim was not a machlekes in halach. It was a machlekes in psychology. But the starting point of both Tanoim was that Yush is kinder. This is, of course, Ula's presentation of the machlekes, which would grant, of course, support simply to who? This is Rabba speaking, in effect. The same way that Rabba said Yush is kinder, I said there are bottom, we don't know which, but it's kinder against Rav Yosef. So this is Ula's tiny of the machlekes of Shimon Darabonin as well. So we have to put Ula on record in terms of the issue. Where does Ula weigh in? Shitas Ula on the issue of Yush kinder. So the Kama Kuf Yudal, it is clear that Yush is yes kinder. That's the first of the relevant sources. However, we have another source, another statement of Ula, and that's a statement of Ula in Gittin on Daf Nunhamid Beis. I'm sorry, Nunhamid Aleph. But we need a little bit more of a background to that as well. We spoke a little bit about this in the past. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin where the Mishnah says that there was a special takana that was made. The Chazal were very, very weary. If somebody brought a stolen korban and nobody knows about it anywhere, nobody even chops that it was stolen, so Chazal said, it's all right. It's okay. Shh. The korban's kosher right now. Shh. Don't bother. The korban's going to be okay. Even though it was technically stolen goods, even though it sounds like it shouldn't have been good, but the chata shleida, so be the evidence, we're going to say it's okay. And the question is, why do we make that takana? What's that all about? So there's machlek samaroyim, what exactly the takana was. We're going to only go down the root of Ula. So the reason for this takana was as follows, that if we're going to parcel this korban, so it's going to make the kohanim very, very edgy. They're going to be very, very nervous. You know, the Kohen is working in the basement. He doesn't know every single person. Every guy who comes and brings him a korban, he's got to go check his credentials. He's got to go check. Let me see your, let me see your bank statements. Let me see your taxes. Let me see. Make sure you're an honest guy. A guy comes, and walks into the basement mikdash with a korban. Mistom, everything's up to par. The Kohen looks, no mumon. How's he going to know? Stolen, not stolen. So we assume that it's probably not stolen. If every once in a while it's going to find out that it was stolen, Igloy Mils that the Kohen really did something wrong, and he did not Avera. Now everyone's eating things b'yisur, and the korban was done b'yisur. Everything was done b'yisur. Everything was done b'psul. It's going to lead to a big chalish tadas, the base of mikdash. No one's going to want to work the base of mikdash anymore. So therefore, Chazal made a takona that even though technically it's no good, the korban is not apostle, and the Torah talks that's stolen. Nevertheless, midrabbanan, we're going to give you the green light. The korban is going to be okay. How can we do that? That's a wild thing. If the Torah is apostle, how can we make it kosher? So there's a chap. What's the chap called? Efka Bezim. We can do whatever we want. The imam is Efka Bezim. So Chazal, because of that, we mocked the animal to the gazlan, and the Igloy Milsa was never really stolen altogether. So that's the background of that Mishnah. So comes Ula and explains to us in Gittin Daf Nun Hey what the din was really like before that Mishnah was instituted. The Mishnah says that was one of the Mishnahs that was instituted by Tikkun HaOlam. The term Tikkun HaOlam appears in Chazal many, 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 many times. Tikkun HaOlam Chazal means that Chazal made certain takonas in order to make certain, correct certain problems of society. There are certain things that things were not running smoothly. We're going to run into certain technical problems in society, and therefore we're going to make certain tikkunim in the halacha, certain dinim d'rabbanan, in order to make sure to overcome some of those obstacles. Like the Moshel Prusbel, Hillel was one of the famous Tikkun HaOlam, but many, many other Tikkun HaOlam. So the Mishnah list, this is also Tikkun HaOlam. Tikkun HaOlam has come to mean a lot of other things in this matter. We're not talking about the pros and cons, but the term Tikkun HaOlam in Chazal means that the Beis Din HaGadol, 71 great Rabbanim who spent their entire lives Yom V'Layla sitting and learning Torah, so they had to come and figure out certain tikkunim to make to get things a little smoother. Chazal have a right, an authority, justification to institute things, sometimes as gezeiros, as siyogim, to prevent the surim. That's one kind of dinim d'rabbanan. And then you have other kind of dinim d'rabbanan that are not instituted to protect any isurim. They're just instituted just to make things run a little bit smoother. So let's say when Chazal instituted that you can't move muktzah on Shabbos. That wasn't to improve society. Society was running just fine and dandy with people picking up pencils on Shabbos. The problem was that people were writing with those pencils on Shabbos. So Chazal had instituted gezeira, mishmatis, mishmatis. That's one type of isur. Then you have a whole other type of takonos chachamim, which is the tikkun hamedina, tikkun olam, etc., which is not addressing any particular isur. No one's going to bother any isur if we don't make this takana. The only thing is that no one's going to want to bring kabbalas anymore. No one's going to want to work at the basement anymore. So that's going to be a problem in society. So Chazal have to address that as well. the Mishnah Yaakov writes in the Tshuva that there are differences between certain takkanos that Chazal make that are almost religious motives and certain that are more almost like social, so to speak, motives. There are differences in Chazal. Chazal have the authority to institute both. They're all included in the called Davar Sheir Rucha. They're all part of Los Asur, but there may be certain nuances and differences between the two. But again, getting back to that story, this is one of these where there was no Isser per se we're trying to protect, but it's just to make things run smoother, a little better in the base of Mikdash. So Ula tells us the background, the history. What was the world like pre this Takkanos Chachamim? So the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Nun Hamed Aleph, the eighth in Ramah Kabbalah, Abba Ula, Devar Torah, Bein Noda, Bein Lo Noda, Ein Mechaperes. Midaraisa, whether they knew that it was stolen, they didn't know it was stolen, it doesn't make a difference. If Tachlis, it was stolen, Ein Mechaperes. The Korban is not acceptable. My time. Why is the Korban not acceptable? Listen to this. Yush Kidney Laikani. Did you hear it? Did everybody hear that? Yush is not kindness, Azula. So therefore, it's still what? It's still basically treated as what? Stolen goods. It's not my korban. The ABCs of a korban. I have to bring a korban. It's my korban. I kept bringing Yerim's korban. So when Ula's explaining what the Din D'Oraisa would have been pre the Tikkun Olam, what the Din D'Oraisa would have been, it would have been Yush Kedi in a korban, and therefore it's not mechaper. Umatam Omru lo know the mechaperes. And why did they institute? That's supposed to be an alarm. If it is, it's not very effective. Okay. We'll assume we're not supposed to do anything about that. Okay. Umatam omru lo noda mechaperes. So why does the Mishnah relate that if it's lo noda, that it's mechaperes? What's the pshat? Why did they make that tikkun olam? Shlo yu kohanim at seivim. We don't want the kohanim to be sad. Whatever, be happy. Shnichas od mar mesiv. But the kohanim to dance, they basically make them be happy, smiley. We don't want anyone to walk around being depressed, that lest we bring stolen goods on the mizbech. See, Gaval, the gemosa from here. What would have ruined the kohen's day? It would have ruined the kohanim's day. What? To know that, oy, 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 gefelach, they may have participated in gezeilah. The fact that there would have been a mat, even though they didn't know about it, it would have been b'shayyeg. But the fact that a kohen would have come with the korban that was gozel based on mikdash, that would have been, that was so miserable, was so terrible, the kohanim would have been depressed. They wouldn't want to come to the basic mikdash anymore rather than participate in robbery and thievery, b'shayyeg, that they didn't even do, but Yenim, somebody else did. So Chazal had to change all the facts, had to institute a new takkan, hefker based on hefker, to calm the kohanim down, because the kohanim were right. They were right in being depressed, because kedev is supposed to depress you, because that's supposed to depress you. Yeah, okay, so think about it. Yeah, I just try to overdrum. I had a point to make. Yeah. So they say, there's only one thing that interests me, a lot of things interest me, so there's only one part that interests me right now, and what's that? Ula, in presenting what the din is, this is Ula speaking, get in, with opposite son, the name of Aleph, Ula says, Yush, Eino, Kona. Problem. Big problem. Yush, Eino, Kona. How do you solve this dilemma? How do you solve this contradiction, Ula? So the answer is, not a great surprise, for Ben Tam and Dari, each one solves this problem in their own way. So comes Ben Tam and says, the emes is sugya. You know, whenever you have this, two sugyas contradict each other. There's one sugya that's the real sugya, and the other sugya you have to touch up a little bit. Comes Rabbi Natam and says, the emes is sugya, says Rabbi Natam, is this. Ula's of the opinion that Yush is kaya. So what in the world does the Gemara mean on Daf Nun Hamed Aleph when it says that Yush ain't a kaya, and that's the reason why it's not good in a Torah? You know what Yush ain't a kaya means, says Rabbi Natam? Yush ain't a kaya is a code phrase. It's for people who know what that phrase means. You know what Yushet HaKoinah means? Yushet HaKoinah doesn't mean it's that Koinah Dini Mominus. Yushet HaKoinah doesn't mean it's that Koinah Cheshin Mishpat. You know what Yushet HaKoinah means? What do you think Yushet HaKoinah means? That means it's not Koinah which to let you bring it as a carbon, because it's still possible to bring a carbon even though you really were Koinah. That's what Yushet HaKoinah means. And there are three words that this is a code phrase for. Yush Eino Koinah means what? What's it a key phrase? What's it a code phrase for? What three words?
mitzvah bo be'aveira.
That's what Ula meant when he said, Yush eino koine, means, i.e., don't tell me a story that the korban's kosher min ha-Torah, because it's not really kosher min ha-Torah, because the mitzvah bo be'aveira. So Yush eino koine doesn't mean chashim mishpat eino koine. Yush eino koine means, in Ilchas, it's of a hefter, in Ilchas kabbalas, Ilchas kosher, in Zvach, in Bris, eino koine, i.e., the korban is still possible. Now, when Rabbeinu Tam learned this pshat in Ula, this very, very mechudishtik pshat in Ula, obviously, Rabbeinu Tam is l'shitasai. Because Rabbeinu Tam is conceding that Ula's view is that in Cheshem Mishpat, what? Yush is kaina. And it's still possible to bring as a korban. Obviously, the Re could never say such a thing, because according to the Re, that undermines his very yisayid. The Re's yisayid was, once you're kaina, there's no mitzvah b'aveira anymore. So this is Rabbeinu Tam l'shitasai. Rabbeinu Tam said in Rabbi Yochanan in Ar Sugya, Rabbeinu Tam is repeating in Ula the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, on Baba Kaaba Daf Kuf Yadal and get Daf Nun Hay.
According to
Rabbeinu
Tam, then the Gemara in Meruba, where Ula Darshan
the Pasuk. Oh, we didn't get that Gemara yet. I didn't catch that Gemara yet. Okay, we're getting there. Rabbi say? I challenged you to put something on the back burner about 3 weeks ago. So we're back. We've arrived. When we discussed the 2 days in Tosfos about whether the mitzvah of aveira is deraisa derabanan, right? Remember? We spoke about mitzvah of aveira being deraisa derabanan. So Tosfos threw a little under the table. Tosfos said, and by the way, according to Rabbeinu Tam, mitzvah of aveira is deraisa. I don't remember that line in Tosfos. And the testament often so. Tosfos said, and by the way, according to Rabbeinu Tam, mitzvah of aveira is deraisa. And I said, I don't want to spend too much time in it. We'll talk about it later. Well, later has arrived, Rabbi say. Which Rabbeinu Tam is Tosfos referring to? Git Daf Nun Hay. Because what did Ula say? Amar Ula, what was the magic words? Devar Torah, Min HaTorah, Min HaRaisa. The following din is true. And that following din that Rabbeinu Tam is, that Ula is about to explain, is really none other than Mitzvah Babi Aveira. And Rabbeinu Tam is calling that a Ula, is calling that a Devar Torah. Zamin Fendor, that Rabbeinu Tam Shita was, Mitzvah Aveira is in fact a Deraisa. Unlike, of course, the Baal HaTosfos in Sukkot Daf Tesamid Aleph. Which was who speaking on Tesamid Aleph most probably? It was probably the Re, not Rabbeinu Tam. So again, this Rabbeinu Tam is a Mamasha. Mitzia. It's worth gold, this Rabbeinu Tam. And we have to understand this Rabbeinu Tam. This is clearly the Shitasai. What he's doing to Ula is what he did to Rabbi Yochanan. It's following his underlying Shita that you do have bits of a very even post Kinyan Yush. And in the process, Rabbeinu Tam is committing himself to the Machlekes of Rishonim, whether it's a Bavir or Deraisa or Derabbanan. This Rabbeinu Tam has a lot of significant points in it. Not a great surprise. The Re could not even begin to be Geirus this pshat. And therefore, rather than making the Gemara of a Kama the key Gemara, which Gemara is about to become the key Gemara, according to the Re? Yeah. This Gemara is the key Gemara. Yush is Eino Koine. And therefore, the Korban is puzzle. It's not my Korban. It's stolen. The Yush is not Koine. I'm not. Korban's no Koine. So what in the world did Ula mean on Kuf Yudalid when he said that Kuleyamula Pligi, that if the guy was Messiah, he's Koine? What do you think the Re is going to do with that Gemara? We've already seen the Re's, you know, way of thinking in these sugyas. When the Gemara says Yush Koine, like in Sukkah Daf Lamed, what does it really mean? Yush, what's the key word? Yush plus. So all the Re had to do was look around for a plus in Kuf Yudalid. So he's looking and searching for a plus. What's the plus? A little harder to find the plus. Could be the same plus. The plus is Yush and Shini Hashem. Where's the Shini Hashem? Well, the Gemara didn't say the Oros are just kind of sitting there. The Oros are being touched up a little bit, a little mash, a little supper, a little Shini Hashem. Combine that little teeny weeny, tiny Shini Hashem with the Yush and hocus pocus is going there. So says the Re, and if you look carefully at Kuf Yudalid the Re, you'll think I'm right. Obviously, Ben Tam didn't think that way. You'll think I'm right, says the Re. That in Kuf Yudal, when Ula said, Kuli Amla Pligi Yush Kona, that meant Yush plus, not all that different than what it said in Sukkot Daf Lamed. According to the Re, this is the key Gemara. When the Gemara says Yush Kona, that doesn't mean Yush, that means Yush plus the shtickle, Shini Hashem. So stylistically, Rabbi Natam and the Ri are identical to one another. Exactly what each one of them did back in Sukkot of Lamed is precisely what they do in Baba Kama Kufi Dal and getting up in hand.
What are you guys doing to add to Shini Hashem?
You want to know how that works? How in the world does that mix of Yishir and hold on for that one? Okay? Now, let's take a third, look at a third Gemara, also quoting Ullah, and try to see how both Rabbi Natam and the Ri would learn this third pivotal Gemara. So it goes back to Baba Kama to Samach Zayin. So we jump from the 10th parak of Baba Kama back to the 7th parak of Baba Kama again. Samach Zayin and Aleph. Lo and behold, Omar Ullah, Minayin L'Yir She'ina Kaina. All of a sudden, the man of the hour, Ullah, is about to speak. And he tells us, here's my topic. This is the sugya. I'm announcing my topic. When you see Ula saying that statement, so bells have to go off, alarms have to go off. What do you think Rabbi Natam thought that meant? If Ula's the one who's saying, what do you think Rabbi Natam? He saw that, Rabbi Natam saw that line, and he immediately said, it doesn't mean what it sounds like. I thought Minayin L'Yishin HaKoyna means, how do you know in Bivakam, how do you know Chishin Mish, how do you know in Imam L'Yish is not Koyna? That is not a true statement, because according to Rabbi Natam, what is Ula's real sheet about Yish? Yish is Koyna. So obviously when Ula said Minayin L'Yishin HaKoyna, what did he mean? It was the code phrase again. What's the code phrase, everybody say? Minayin is Mitzvah B'Avera. That's what Ula really meant to say. Omar Ula, Minayin, that the Mitzvah B'Avera exists, even though you are Koyna. What Yishin HaKoyna means, you are Koyna Cheshmish, but you're not Koyna for Karbonos, which is turns out to say, Minayin Shem Mitzvah B'Avera. And Ula does not disappoint us, because this is what he says. Omar Ula, Minayin Yishin HaKoyna, Shinemar. Vaveisim gozlos pisech v'sachoyle. Gozl dumi de pisech. Vapisech t'leis de takan t'klal. Av gozl t'leis de takan t'lo shalif neyish lo shalach yish. Does that Gemara sound remotely familiar? What is Ula saying? Word for word? It's verbatim. So daf lamaral. Ula was a loyal Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan who's quoted from Shubay Yochai. The three, Eilig from Shubay Yochai to Rabbi Yechanan, Ula all saying the same thing. It's Mamash Eden. It's the same pasuk. So Rabbi Natam is sitting in the corner, gewaldig, says Rabbi Natam. You were making fun of me, says Rabbi Natam. You were laughing, and you were saying my pshat wasn't correct, because you couldn't believe that the words Yish and HaKoyna met Mitzvah B'Avera are proof to you that I'm right. What's the proof positive for Rabbi Natam? The same exact pasuk that Ula's quoting to prove, quote-unquote, Yish and HaKoyna, is the same pasuk Rabbi Yechon's Rebbe quotes in Sukkot Lamed Amud Aleph to prove what? Mitzvah B'Avera. Which led Rabbi Natam to say, you see, it's the same thing. They were just talking different lingo. What Ula meant to say is what Rabbi Yechon said. They were saying the identical thing. So Rabbi Yechon worded it by saying, Minayin L'Mitzvah B'Avera, and Ula worded it by saying, Minayin L'Yishin HaKoyna, but it all meant the same thing, says Rabbi Natam, and it all boils down to the Pasuk Malachi. So Fakir, this Gemara in Tzabach Zayin is giving credibility to Rabbi Natam's Sprout. Even though the words itself, Minayin L'Yishin HaKoyna, got us a little bit nervous, got Rabbi Natam a little bit shaky. Because the Nayan Yishin HaKoyna doesn't sound much of a Bevera, but Rabbi Natam says, well, look at the next line of the Gemara. The fact that it's the identical pasuk from Sukkot Daf Lamed, that clearly supports my theory. So we have three statements of Ula, and we have Rabbi Natam's underlying way of reading all three, which is identical to Rabbi Natam's way of reading Rabbi Yechon. How would the Ri read Sukkot Daf Lamed, I'm sorry, Baba Kama Daf Samach Zayin? If you were the Ri and you were reading this Gemara, Samar Ula, Minayin Li Yisha Yishin HaKoyna, how do you know that Yish is not Koyna? What does that mean according to the Ri? Yeah. It means Yish is not Koyna. What's the mocker that Yish is not Koyna? Listen to this read. The mocker is, because the pasuk says, you can't bring stolen goods to the Mizbeach, even though the owner was Mishyayesh, that's the mocker Yish is not Koyna. How's that the mocker? Vos looked in this Gemara point to the Ri. What is the Hanoch of this Gemara? The Ri is reading this Gemara. You have to put yourself back in France in the 1100s. The Ri is reading this Gemara and seeing a gold mine in this Gemara. Amarula, Minayin L'Yish and HaKoyna, how in the world do you see for this pasuk anything about the Dinamunus? According to Rabbi Natam, we see in this pasuk it's not about Karbanus. According to the Ri, we're learning from this pasuk a Yisoid in the Dinamunus. The Yish is not HaKoyna. What's the Yisoid? Because im timtza loymar yush, what? Would have been kaina, then what would not have been a problem? There never would have been a problem. It's above your. Because the Ri said it's so posha to anybody except the Hilga uncle. It's so posha, says the Ri, that once you're kaina with Yush, once you're kaina, it's a done deal. It's over. It's history. There's no one mitzvah b'avera. So forget, this is unbelievable according to the Ri, that because we have a did in kochim called mitzvah b'avera, that is the hochach, that's the raya brura, the Yush is not kaina. Because if Tim Tzalami Yush would have been kaina, there wouldn't have been a did in mitzvah b'avera. So you understand, you appreciate how Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri are so radically differently reading this Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam is looking at this Gemara through the eyes of mitzvah b'aveira, and the Ri is looking at this Gemara through the eyes of Yiddush Hanukkah to Dinim Amiris. The only reason the Gemara is quoting mitzvah b'aveira is to prove to us something about Dinim Amiris. Lagamrim kamech mitzvah b'aveira of different ways of reading this Gemara. So we have, how many Gemaras do we have now weighing in on this general topic? We have five different sugyas. We're trying to balance here five different sugyas. We have, let's see, what are the different sugyas again? So we have Sukkah, Daf Lamed. What other sugyas are relevant? We had Bava Kama, Samaches, which had to do with what? Which had to do with Rabbi Yochanan, Shita taking the balance of Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. We had Bava Kama, Samaches, that talked about paying Dal Behei after Yush. That was another pivotal Gemara. Then we have, what was that? Samaches, Samad Aleph, I don't remember anymore. What else do we have? Then we have Bava Kama, Kuf Yudalit, comes part of the Ula saga. Then we have Gittin, what? Name and Aleph. And then we have what else? Then we have Bava Kama. What was the Alpha's that? So it was Naim and Aleph. Five sugyas that have to be understood. It's a package deal. You got to learn Sukkah, Bava Kama, and Gittin. And the Rabbeinu Tam, both of the Tam and the Ri learned all five sugyas. And both of them came up with radically different conclusions.
Wouldn't he think the opposite, that since he doesn't invoke
Rishon Bar Yochai? He's saying the same as Rishon Bar
Yochai.
It's the same thing.
So why would he quote in different
Lashon?
Why would he quote
Rishon
Bar Yochai?
Doesn't
that make it seem like...
No. I don't know. Shur Bar Yochai, at the end of the day, all the maneuvering and the razzle-dazzle ways of learning the different sugyas all boil down to the same basic nekuda. There's one point of contention to Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. Post kinyan, yeh mitzvah b'aveira, or post kinyan nish mitzvah b'aveira. That's the homachlokes. That's all there is right no more. So Rabbi Yisrael will ask a question with the utmost chutzpah. Please be Michael, who's right? Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. It should be easily checked. You don't have to even, I was going to say you don't have to turn the page, but you do have tintel amid on the beis in sukkah. There's a Gemara that speaks about this very topic, about mitzvah b'aveira post kinyan. And whatever the answer to that question is, that is going to determine who's correct, Rabbeinu Tam of the Ri. So what is the Gemara? The Gemara in Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Hopefully we're going to get to this Gemara a lot more, a couple more weeks of shiur on these topics. But we'll just give you the kitzin emuts. The Gemara tells a story in the bottom of Lamed Amud Aleph, that there was a big problem that some of the hadassim that were used in Bovil were coming from fields that were very questionable about the ownership of those fields. The goyim were bringing the hadassim, and it's very possible some of those fields were stolen fields, which could potentially mean the hadassim were stolen, which could potentially, you know, undermine everybody's mitzvah dalad minim. So Rav Huna came up with all these different kuntzim and eitzes and how to make sure that even, we're not even sure they were stolen, but al atzad they were stolen, how to make sure everyone's still going to be yotzei the mitzvah. A lot of kuntzim, a lot of maneuvering in the Dinimominus to figure out how to solve that potential problem. Well, that's going to set the stage for many sugyas to come. But at one point in the Gemara asks the Kasha on the Flamen of Beis and says, what's the big deal? What are we so worried about where these hadassim came from? Even worst case scenario, they came from stolen fields. And even if the fellow now who's about to be yotzei the mitzvah is using stolen goods, it should still be okay. You know why it should still be okay? Because of a principle, Hilchos Geneva, called Shinoi Koine. Shinoi Koine. Finished. Shinoi Koine. What's the Shinoi Koine? Nope. What's the Shinoi Koine? I stole a hadas. Worst case, I went to your house, building that. I stole to your field. I stole your hadas. But when I'm yaitz in the midst of lulav, I don't just use it as a hadas. So what do I do with it? I bind it into a lulav. I tie it up. I make it into it's a new chefta. So the Gemara asks, on Laman of Beis, like new yabishini ma'isa. If I stole wood and I made it into furniture, the Mishnah in the ninth parak of Bava Kama says, I'm kaina. I don't have to return the furniture, I just give you cash. Remember yesterday? When you're kaina, you own the object, you pay cash. So ask the Gemara, why don't we view the making of tying the lulav and the das rabbis together into a shini ma'isa? To which the Gemara says, you're right, it should have been. But it happens to be that since we paskei the lulav ain't tzorech eged, you don't really have to tie it anyway, so therefore we can't really view it as an actual shina. And then the Gemara goes on to discuss it. Dude, and they're abundant. Yeah, no. Is it a shina? Not a good shina. Different reasons why it may not be a good shina. So that's not going to solve the problem. So we're not going to go down that route. We have to come up with other creative ideas that Rav Huna succeeds in finding. Rabbi said, what do you see from the Gemara's kasha? No? Let's think it through. What do you see from the Gemara's kasha?
You meant the shini,
yeah, yeah, means imtum tzalayim, but that it would have qualified. It happens not to qualify as a shini for technical grounds, but from the kushas of Gemara, for like nuya b'shini ma'isa, from that kash of the Gemara, for like nuya b'shini ma'isa, that once you kaina, it's over. That's kosher. Really, once you kaina, it's over. One second. Why is a stolen lulav no good, Rabbi Say? Chaz, back to the beginning. Remember, we're learning Sukkim. Sorry to get you out of Bava Kama for a second. Why are you not yaitzeh with stolen goods? What are the two reasons? Who tells me? Tell me. Two reasons. Why are you not yaitzeh with stolen goods? It's not lochem, and it's Rav Yaveira. So when the Gemara asked the Kashav, the Gemara obviously was addressing both of those concerns. So let's work through the math. The concern of lochem, is that solved by being kind of b'shini ma'isa? Absolutely, because of the mice, it's lochem. Kol zman that the halacha requires behesha, I have to give back this item, it's not lochem, it's not mine. But if the halacha dictates that I'm koine and I just have to pay cash, so it's lochem, it's mine, 100% mine. When the Gemara asked the kash with the b'shini ma'isa, I understand how the Gemara was overcoming the issue of what? The issue of lochem. But how is the Gemara overcoming the problem of mitzvah b'veira? What happened to the second problem of mitzvah b'veira? How could the Gemara dare and ask such a question? If you be shinim ice and call it a day and let everyone be, I'd say, dalaminim with stolen goods, the chmitzah b'aveira? No, who's happy? Which great Risha, which Baal Taisus is jumping for joy at this one? He's dancing. Mishenichas Adah, what? Who votes for the Ri? The Ri says, you see this Gemara, everything I've been telling you. You see in this Gemara that as long as you kaina before the mitzvah gets underway, there's no more mitzvah b'avi aveira. Finish. End of discussion. So just as if this is a shini, it happens not to be in the shini ma'isa. That was the technical grounds. But if it's a shini ma'isa, then once you have shini ma'isa, mitzvah b'avi aveira disappears. Huadinami, the Ri says, once you have yush, if yush would be kaina, then mitzvah b'avi aveira would disappear. Now, truth to be told, we hold, Rabbi Yochanan held, Ula held, they all held that Yush is not a not koine. And the only way it's koine was with the combination of Yush plus what? Plus Shini Hashem, Shini Rishus. So that's still called Mitzvah Mevera. Because it wasn't yours before the mitzvah started. It's your Hakadosha that's making it yours. That's still Mitzvah Mevera territory. But Imtim Tzalayla, Ulu Yitzuyu, somebody, Ula, Rabbi Yochanan, anybody under the soul would have held that Yush is koine. By itself, Yishkidi Kaina, the mitzvah would have fell by the wayside, which is the absolute antithesis of everything Rabbeinu Tam stood for. So the Ri turns around to his uncle, and he says, I don't understand. State the famous in the Gemara that post Shiri Ma'isa, there's no mitzvah Avera. Who would deny post Yush Kaina, there's no mitzvah Avera. How does Rabbeinu Tam respond back? It's Chamam Sharaya Brua. Who saw that Gemara on Laman of Abayis? Who understood that Gemara is mamish outright contradiction of Rabbeinu Tam? Nobody chapped that? Didn't Taisus say that? Didn't Taisus say it? Yeah, Taisus says it. Taisus says it mefeirish. The Ri says it mefeirish. On Laman Amud Aleph. V'yesh loyim adimi said the yish kedi kana have shaloi kaidim hektesh v'sulo chashmetz v'aveira v'chein mukhal kam b'shmaisa gabi avankri v'kvina b'shin Hashem.
Mashmi, he mentioned Hashem Shirimais, it's the same thing. The E, and for our purposes, the E, Konale Matsunavki Bevlo Chashim, it's a Bevera. That line in Tosfos is what we just said just now. So, okay, so we have to fine tune why in the world that should be so. We have no idea if that distinction is correct and why it should be correct. So we really have a problem. Rabbi Tam is at a big, big, big source right now. Rabbi Tam has to defend himself in that Gemara, the Flamin Rebeis. So what's the easiest way to solve that problem of Sukkah Laman Rebeis? The Gemara says, Peh Mole, we just read it together. We just read it. V'lik nino b'shinim ha'iseh. Those three words. V'lik nino b'shinim ha'iseh is a contradiction to Rabbi Tam. What? First day only. How's that going to solve the problem? But he still gets to go to there. What gzeiras ha'kasev? What gzeiras ha'kasev? The k'nu b'shirim ha'iseh. So I understand how shirim ha'iseh gets rid of the gzeiras ha'kasev lachem. That I understand. But how in the world does it get rid of the problem? It's a little bit there. It's different. How's karka different? We're not even talking about karka shini, shiur, niyur, shiur. Karka is very different. And that's hopefully that's your next sukkah is coming up. But that's not going to help. That one line, the Gemara, that's not going to help me.
We already saw Tosfos mention other like ways that mitzvot are very, they're unique, like that's the machmas, the mitzvot are machmas, they're there. So to shinoi, it's no longer the same thing.
You're still trying to defend yourself. You're trying to give me a shtikl Torah as to why shinoi and yosh are different. I like what you're going to say. I don't know what you're going to say yet, but if you say what I want you to say, I like it. And even if you don't, I'm going to make you say what I want to say. But I didn't want to get there yet.
You say that the Gemara is only dealing with the problem of
Lachem. Oh, now we're going down a whole other path here. Try to get a hang in there, okay? Wait a second. What I think you're saying is that this Gemara doesn't exist. That's what you're saying, right? There's no Gemara anywhere in Shas, including Sukkah Laman Rebeis, that says that post Kinyan, there's no mitzvah b'Aveira. No Gemara. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara just asked the Stam question. That's all the Gemara said. We made a big assumption. We said, from the fact that the Gemara asked that question, notwithstanding the fact that there were two problems of being yaitzah with stolen goods. One is a lachem problem and one is a mitzvah. This is all us talking. The Gemara didn't say it. The Gemara said three words. So we stuck in our paper. We wrote out a sifta Gemara. So we wrote a 14-page paper of what that question meant. What that question meant is, notwithstanding the fact that there are two distinct chisroinus, a very long run-on sentence, in stolen goods, one being a chisarin, still sentence, one being a chisarin of lachem, and one being a chisarin of mitzvah b'aveira, both of those problems are overcome with shini ma'isa. One is overcome because it's lachem, now I'm allowed to keep it, and the second is overcome because once I'm koina, so then there's no mitzvah b'aveira. That was the sentence, okay? That's what we learned pshat. Three Chazal said three words. But that was the interpretation of those three words. And now you're questioning what I just said. It took me 10 minutes. That could be a good filibuster. It took me 10 minutes, I said. It took me what it took me, Chazal, three words to say. It took me 10 minutes to say. So what are you saying? You're arguing with my whole soliloquy. What are you saying? Wait a second. Comes to Malamore and says, there's no such Gemara. Doesn't exist. That's the Malamore of different gears. There's no such Gemara. The Gemara never asked the question that Shini Maisa should overcome Mitzvah B'Aveira. What the Gemara is asking is that Shini Maisa should overcome Lachem, which is correct, which is a good question. But the Gemara wasn't even Mesiyaches to Shini Maisa addressing Mitzvah B'Aveira. You know why, he says the Malamore? Because the Gemara was working with the assumption now that I'm sorry to report that what doesn't exist? Mitzvah B'Aveira doesn't exist. Following on the heels of Shmuel Ritzach Bar Nachmani, which has happened to be the last line of the Gemara. Says the Malamore, we know there's a machloikis from Yochanan and Shmuel whether Mitzvah B'Aveira even exists altogether. The stomach of the Gemara in the Flamin Rebeis is assuming there is no Mitzvah B'Aveira. Says the Malamore, if there would have been Mitzvah B'Aveira, the Gemara never would have asked such a terrible question because Mitzvah B'Aveira is not trumped by Shina Koine. So says the Malamore, Mistim is a Gemara. Mikusha said Gemara. It's muchach that we have a stam Gemara on Laman Rebbeis that's supporting, believe it or not, Shmuel over Rabbi Yochanan. Because quite frankly, says the Malamor, if you accept the principle of mitzvah of Aver, you would never ask such a silly kasha. Because Shini Kun is never going to solve it. Everyone saw that Balamor? Did anyone see that Balamor? The Balamor used his way of reading the Gemara to support what theory of his? Catch this one. Says the Balamor, we paskin like who? Like Shmuel. Like Rabbi Yitzchak Berachmeni. And his raya was this kasha of the Gemara. So the Balamor just took the balloon that the rebuilt up, blew up, they pricked it whole of it. Who thinks Rabbeinu Tam is thrilled to hear this from the Balamor? He had Rabbeinu Tam to read the city in northern France, freezing cold. The Balamor is sitting in sunny southern France in Provence. And the Balamor is coming up with this razzle-dazzle on the Gemara, that there never was such a Gemara. You would have expected Rabbeinu Tam to be mamash on board. You think Rabbeinu Tam liked this pshat? Did not like this pshat. Anyone know why Rabbeinu Tam would never have born to this pshat? What? Because let's not forget, what did Shmuel say and what did Shmuel not say? That sheet, everything about Balamor's entire thrust of the sugya is hinging on the assumption that Shmuel never heard of mitzvah of Aver. It wasn't Geiris mitzvah of Aver. Yes, the Balamor said that. And no, who did not say that? Tosis. Tosis and Daf Lamed and Aleph presents the standard sheet of Tosis, the Mahalach, the raid in the base medrash of the Balei Tosis, that Shmuel never denied mitzvah of Aver. We would be spending 3 weeks on a sugya that doesn't exist according to Shmuel. Of course, it's a mitzvah b'veira. The machloek of Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan was on a detail of a detail, should be detail, should be detail of mitzvah b'veira. What was that? Does mitzvah b'veira apply to what? The mitzvahs d'rabbanan or not? That was all machloek. Hakol mikol kol. To say that Shmuel denied mitzvah b'veira, what? He denied paskei Navi. He didn't believe in the authenticity of the Nevi'im. What a kfir do you give me kol hamuna? So the Balei HaTosfos, with Rabbeinu Tam included, I don't believe Rabbeinu Tam disagreed with what it says in Tosfos Lamed Aleph. The Rabbeinu Tam obviously had the mindset, you can't hang your hat on Shmuel and tell me that the Gemara Lamed Rabbeis is Shmuel. Shmuel wouldn't have asked such a silly kasha. Even Shmuel agrees to Mitzvah B'Aver. And let's not forget, Rabbi Isai, this is not just an arbitrary machloikis Tosfos and Balamor, but how to learn Shmuel. What does that machloikis hinge upon? Do we see all the threads of the sugyas beginning to connect now from a month ago? How did machloikis Tosfos and Balamor start? Whether Shmuel is denying Mitzvah B'Aver altogether, or he's only denying the Derabanan part? What does that have to do with? Is the Gemara talking about the Raisas of the Rabbanans? The age of machloikis Tosfos and who was the big Bab Pulk of Tosfos in this one? The Ramban. It was only Tosfos, because the Balei Tosfos learned that the sugya and sugya daf chavtes and lamed are talking about the rabbanan dika dalaminim. It's not talking about a deraisa dika dalaminim, because remember, according to Tosfos, if it would be a deraisa dika dalaminim, what would it be? Even what would be possible? Who remembers? Tosfos sheet is if you're talking deraisa, everything's possible. Even lochem is possible. Remember that? Tosfos' whole thrust on Lamed and Aleph is the whole sugya is talking to Rabbanans. Because the sugya is talking to Rabbanans, Tosfos is free to say that Shmuel only argued on the Rabbanans. The Balamor was in the same team, believe it or not, as the Ramban, as the Ram, others, who said that the sugya was talking to their Isis. If the sugya is talking to their Isis, then Shmuel still says it's a mitzvah b'aveira. So Shmuel takadina, it's a mitzvah b'aveira. So you're going to take Rabbeinu Tam out of context of all the Tosfos, you're going to tell me Rabbeinu Tam doesn't buy into the entire Tosfos of Lamed Aleph. Who do you think wrote the Tosfos of Lamed Aleph? Rabbeinu Tam's Tamidim. So you're going to tell me Rabbeinu Tam sides with the Balamor, and he disagrees with the little Tosfos. It's not just disagreeing with the little Tosfos. It's disagreeing with the whole thrust of the sugya. The only way Rabbeinu Tam to stick him into Balamor's team is to take him out of Tosfos' whole Chachmei Ashkenaz's approach to the entire first sugya in the third Bekel Sukkah, which is inconceivable if you're in his deity. And therefore, it was a nice try, but this is not the answer for Rabbeinu Tam. I'll give you E for effort, but understand I can't do it. So we got to fall back on Johnny. Now we don't know what Johnny's talking about. That's Johnny knows what he's talking about, so he's going to have to help him out a little bit, okay? So, the only way to answer Rabbeinu Tam, that's the only way, the way we're going to answer Rabbeinu Tam, say it more correctly, is to come to the realization that we have an equation on the board. Who is responsible for this equation? Which great people made this equation? Who made this equation? The Re. The Tosfos said, this is the Re talking. The Re says, as we see in the Sugi of Ankri and Laman Amebeis, that Shina is Kaina, and therefore the Zalatsa Bevera, so too, into the Slum, Yush is Kaina. So this is the equation of the Re, and of course, Rabbeinu Tam is going to come and put a line right through the equation and say, there's no such equation. There was such a Merchak Vizachim Ayra between Yush being Kaina and Shina being Kaina, that difference is going to result in the conclusions being radically different. The thrust of Rabbeinu Tam from here on in is going to be post Shini Maisa, Mitzvah Be'Aveira doesn't exist, but post Yush Kaina, it exists in full force. And of course, what we have to understand is if this is Kaina and this is Kaina, how come one Kinyan results in yes Mitzvah Be'Aveira and one Kinyan results in no Mitzvah Be'Aveira? So what we really have to understand is what is the difference conceptually between Shini Kaina and Yush Kaina? Again, according to those who say it's better, maybe we hold Yush is not Kaina, but Rabbeinu Tam was not one of those people. Rabbeinu Tam claims that Yechon and Ula, all the big guns, are holding that Yush is Kaina. What is the conceptual difference between Yush Kaina and Shini Kaina, and why does one result in yes, Mitzvah Avera still being effective, and one removes any potential problems? That's the real shot. That's the crux. So it takes an hour to get to that point. That's what we have to go according to Rabbeinu Tam. So basically, the only way we can understand why Shinoi Kona somehow results in the removal of Mitzvah Bavi Avera, which even Rabbeinu Tam buys into the Laman Avedes, we have to first understand why Shinoi Kona altogether, or how it's Kona, what the mechanics of Shinoi Kona are. If you understand a little about what a Shinoi is, and why conceptually it works to be Kona, because it's really a very strange thing, I stole wood, I made it to a table, and I don't have to get the wood back. Would you have said that misvara? Misvara pshuta. I steal wood. I made a table. I don't know what's the law. What's the law? I steal wood, make a table. Okay, because they figured it out. Because they also learned Baba Kama. Okay, but it's really a chiddush. I stole the wood. It's his wood. He took the table. So the Gemara pins it on a pasuk. What's the pasuk? The Ram's Losh of the Pi Hashmu Alamdu, the Gemara in Bava Kama, the ninth parak, the seventh parak, the ninth parak, the Heshus Exesha Gozal, the Pi Hashmu Alamdu, Asha Gozal, the ancient Gozal Yachsev, the Lav Dombi Amu the Chayev. Comes the Gemara both in the seventh parak of Bava Kama and in the ninth parak of Bava Kama, and says something which is so startling, which is so shocking, it makes you take 10 steps back in this figure. The Gemara quotes in Machloek is Bishami and Bishilov, tucked away in Masechus Temura of all places. A Shaila which, between you and me, has nothing at all to do with Geneva, nothing to do with Gazela, nothing to do with anything. It's a Sugya in Estan Zona. Torah says, "Lo soviest and zayna mechakela beis Hashem kachon." So a person gives some item to a zayna for the act of nus. That item is posel gabi mech. So he gives her an animal. The esnana can't bring that as posel with their eyes. He can't bring it to korban anymore. Kump the shami. You don't have to follow mechlekes. A person gives a zayna some wheat. Gives her a barrel of wheat. She goes ahead, she takes the wheat, grinds it up, makes it into beautiful, fine flour, soilus mincha, and she wants to bring it as a carbon mincha to the base of Mikdash. What do you think? Yes or no? So Bishami says no. Bishami says you can't do it. Bishami says, yeah, you can. It's okay. Then the Mishnah calls another machlokes. Guy gives the zayna, gives her grapes. She goes and she presses it, turns into wine. Now the Zayna wants to bring it as wine. Agabi HaMizbeach. Nochamu Bishami says no good. Minatari Bishil says it's fine. In the third case, he gives her olives. She crushes it up, turns it into olive oil. She wants to use that as part of the shemen for bringing a mincha. Nachamol Beshami says no good. Basil says good. Good. So when you sit in brisket, you learn Mishachas Tamura, you have to figure out what the lomdus Beshami says. Very nice, beautiful. Rashi and Chobishtach quotes Rashi Kiseitze. Comes to Gemara and says, this machlekes b'sham b'silo is the same machlekes atanoim where the shin is kind of b'gezel or not. If you hold like b'shamai, that it's still called an esnan, b'shamai svirlo, shin b'm kaimim aimek. Shin b'm kaimim is the opposite of shin b'kaimim. Just as b'shamai says that the esnan is still an esnan, so too shin is not kaimim b'gezel. And Beisilah l'shitasa, Beisilah side with the Tanaim who say that if you can use it for the Korban Beis HaMikdash, there's a Raya Bu that Shini is kind of begging him. That's the Tli of the Gemara makes. Then the Gemara questions, maybe the Tli is off a little bit, maybe no, we're not sure. But the Gemara really, really tries that. And in Baba Kama 7th practice, the Gemara sticks to it, and the 9th practice, the Gemara revamps it a little bit. But the Ikaron, that Taliyah is a valid Taliyah. That l'shitasa is l'shitasa. I'll tell you a secret. If one of you guys come to me in Shir, raise your hand and tell me, oh, this Bisham makes a little shitosam from Tamura to Geneva, you know where I'd send you? I'd send him to another Shir. I wouldn't even be able to tolerate that. This is l'shitosam. It's a joke. Shin Shir l'gzeri Shabbat. But don't worry. When's a Shilin Kotchim? Sukkah bonus. One's in a Geneva and Yishka. One's in a Mamas. One's Kotchim. One's Brisk. One's Nashanazi. Whatever with each other. But the Gemara made it to leave. So we're not the only ones who are wondering about this Taliyah. Tosis asks one kasha about this Taliyah. You know what this one kasha is? Tosis formulates the kasha the same way we would formulate the kasha. You know what it is? Huh? Tosis writes, Vim Tama, what? Ma'inyan, Shvita Tfasi, Ma'inyan, Estin Zayi, Tiginava. The answer to this kasha is going to set into motion the answer for Rabbeinu Tam. But we have to understand Tosa's answer, understand the pros and cons of Tosa's answer, and then see how that Tosa's whole beer, the whole mahalich, in this otherwise incomprehensible Gemara, connection to two totally separate areas of Halacha, is going to set the stage for Rabbeinu Tam. We have a work cut out for us on Sunday. We're going to pick up and try to understand Tosa's answer to this very, very strange kasha, and hopefully we have to share music with a little bit of a... Okay, that's not so. That's okay.